Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment and our programs by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with George Fields, Director, Transportation Administrative Service Center at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start by finding out more about TASC. Can you describe the activities for our listeners?
TASC is a unit of the Department of Transportation. We were officially created as a separate unit within the Department of Transportation in 1995. It was one of the reinvention initiatives. At that time, or I should say prior to that time, the unit had existed as the department's working capital fund. And essentially, the department, as most other government agencies, have administration within their purview. And the department decided to break up policy from the operations side of administration.
How many employees are at TASC?
There's approximately 280 employees.
And could you compare the culture at TASC with the culture with the rest of the Department of Transportation?
TASC is a non-appropriated funded agency. And as such, we have a sense of urgency with respect to the programs that we're administering, or I should say the services that we're delivering. Given that we receive no appropriation, all of the revenue that's generated is based upon our ability to deliver services that are both cost-effective as well as services that are deemed to be of value to the customers. So there's a real cultural difference here.
So without revenue for services, there might not be any TASC?
Without revenue, there may not be a TASC. There may not be employees that are performing these functions.
And when you say it generates a sense of urgency, what does that mean?
It means that employees fully understand that they have to have satisfied customers, customers that are in fact willing to pay for the services delivered. Otherwise, we would in fact not exist.
Well, tell us about your career. Tell us, you know, what led you to where you are now.
Mine is a rather interesting career in that I had graduated from the University of Kansas, and at that time had studied political science. But as most political scientists realize coming out of school, you know, you generally look to do just about anything. I always had an intent to go into government, saw it as a noble calling, and started my career with the city of Kansas City, Missouri, in the management intern program there. And studied while at Kansas City, a number of areas, transportation being one of those, budgeting, financing, and saw very much at that early stage the real benefit associated with understanding the operations of government, not so much the matter of delivering direct services to customers or to the public, but really appreciating the actual operation and flow of government. I moved from there and actually started my own business. So I got a little bit of the private sector into me in that I understood how to make a payroll at that time. Did a electrical wholesale company, sold that company, and then moved to the East Coast. And at that point, did some work in county government, County of Arlington. And after that, went to work state government and worked under two governors in state government. I was politically appointed as the Deputy Secretary of General Services, and following an approximately 10-year stint with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, then came to work here at the federal government. So I've had an exposure in terms of government, city, county, state, now at the federal level.
And then how did you get involved with TASC?
The Department of Transportation at that point in 1995, 1996 was contemplating the creation of this organization. It sounded extremely attractive to me because it looked like an opportunity to actually run a business inside a government organization. So it was a blend of the kinds of things that I, in fact, had been involved in and very much, you know, was attracted to.
You've had private sector experience, yet most of your career has been with public service. What drew you to public service?
Sounds a little bit corny, but it's the nobility of the service. I very much have been interested in serving the public and have never had an interest in working in the private sector other than if it were for myself. And in that instance, I would, in fact, control I'm very much interested in terms of the programs that are, in fact, delivered to the public. And from my perspective, those programs are affected by how one, in fact, shapes them from the inside. And I feel as though I can make a contribution that way.
How would you compare the ability to deliver programs at the county, state, and federal level?
At the city-county level, you have a little closer contact with the citizenry. Here at the federal level, you're a little bit more removed. However, I think the concept and the basic principles are still the same. How can you, in fact, deliver services that are of benefit to the public? You know, what is it that the public is looking for? How can you, in fact, deliver that in a cost-effective way? And quite frankly, take into consideration all of the public, not just simply individual segments.
Does the culture differ at the different levels of government?
Yes, very much so. I think that you see at the city and county level very much more citizen participation in what is in fact being delivered to the public. That sense of citizen participation is lost once you look at it from the federal level. I think there are many efforts ongoing to try to do that kind of outreach, but I don't think it nearly gets there as it does at the city and county levels.
Which positions best prepared you to be the leader of task?
I would say, quite frankly, my experience in my own business. In that environment, I truly did understand what it took to actually develop a business, make a payroll, and understand how to make those rather critical calls necessary to keep the doors open every day.
How do you translate that experience to someone who's had a career not in the private sector?
I would say that if, in fact, you understand the issues of accountability, which is rather key here, I think it's very easy to understand then that the public is looking for someone that's delivering services to them that are, in fact, keeping the public in mind and making certain that those services are, in fact, very much attuned to what that public is looking for. I don't think that it's any secret what occurs in the private sector. The private sector is looking at, if you will, the quarterly return, you know, what is, in fact, in the best interest of that public, of that private sector company at the end of the quarter. Same thing here. It's true with respect to the taxpayer. They're looking for that return as well.
In your years of government service, what qualities have you observed as key characteristics of good leadership?
I'm sure there are a number of factors, but I would say that as I look at that, a couple of factors, probably key, character being one, and character as it relates to one's ability to obtain trust of those that you, in fact, are leading. Because without trust of those, you cannot, in fact, lead an individual and or a group. And so character is extremely important. I think the other thing is a matter of connection with employees or with individuals. Because without a sense of connection, you're asking to lead someone and asking them to perform without really having appealed to their heart, quite frankly. And until you've appealed to the heart, you cannot, in fact, get an individual to perform for you. And so I think a combination of character and connection with the individuals that you're attempting to lead.
Do you think these characteristics have changed over time or will change going forward?
Doesn't matter the time, doesn't matter the issues of how much technology we're introducing. I think those are basic human instincts.
Okay, that's a good stopping point. I'm talking with George Fields. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.